The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Touching Lives.
I want to tell you the single most important thing that should be true of your life if you have the right view of life. Because some of you probably sitting there wondering right now, hey, I'm not really sure, do I really have the right view of life? Well, I'll tell you the single most important thing that's true about you if you do.
Teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need him. This is Touching Lives with James Merritt.
Since I'm only going to live once, I think I want to live right. And since I'm only going to die once, at least physically, I want to die right. Now, the question is, how do you do that? Well, there was a man by the name of Paul who wrote a letter to a church in a place called Philippi. I have been to Philippi many times. He wrote a letter to a church in Philippi. And in this letter, he includes some words that I believe gives us three things that we need to die right. If you brought a copy of God's Word and want to look along, let me tell you where I am. I'm in a book called Philippians. As you can see, it's almost at the end of the New Testament. Okay, it's in the New Testament, almost just a little bit past the end of the book. It's Philippians chapter 1. Let me set the background. Several letters that Paul wrote are called prison letters. And the reason why they're called prison letters is because Paul wrote them in prison. He wrote this letter while he was incarcerated in a Roman prison. Now, as we study this passage, I want you to keep one thing in mind before we get into it. When Paul wrote this letter and when Paul wrote these words, he didn't have a clue what was going to happen to him. He didn't know if he's going to stay in prison for a long time. He didn't know if he was going to be set free at some point in time, or he didn't know if he was going to die. He literally did not know what the future held. So he begins by saying these words in verse 19. For I know that through your prayers, that is the church in Philippi, and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me being in this prison will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, here's what Paul said. I don't know if I'm going to live. I don't know if I'm going to die. I don't know if I'm going to be set free, I'm going to rot away in this prison, or they're going to take my head off. But what matters most to me is not whether I live or die, but how I live and how I die. I want to live right and I want to die right. And so he gives us three things that we've got to have if we're going to die right. So I would just say to all of us today, since we know we're going to die, we may as well die right. And there are three things we've got to have to do that. Number one, I must have the right view of life. I've got to have the right view of life. I'm going to say it one more time. You're not ready to die right until you're ready to live right. And if you want to live right, you've got to have the right view of life. Now, Paul tells us what his view of life was in a very simple message. He says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, Paul did something that we're all going to do right now, and everybody can do this. Paul put his life under a microscope. He just got dead level honest with himself, and he said, okay, if I could summarize my life in one word, what would I say my life is? Everybody can do that. Now, I want you to imagine that you are walking down the street and you turn a corner and somebody says to you, okay, what is your life? In one word, what would you say your life is? Now, if we're honest, here's what some people would say. Some people would say, well, my life is money. If I'm going to be just really honest, deep down, my life is money. It revolves around money. I'm consumed with making money. Other people would say, my life is sex. And there are people out there, they live for the one night stand, and they live for this relationship and that relationship. There are a lot of people who would say today, my life is drugs. I'm an addict, and whatever else I've got to have drugs. Some people would say, my life is fame. I live for the applause of the world. Some people would say, well, my life is sports. Football, basketball, baseball, golf. My life is sports. There are some people who are very noble. They would say, well, my life is family. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's my grandkids. Paul said, my life is Christ. The obsession of my life is Christ. The love of my life is Christ. The foundation of my life is Christ. The center of my life is Christ. The circumference of my life is Christ. The obsession of my life is Christ. My life is Christ. Let me just stop. That makes perfect sense if you're a follower of Christ. Let me tell you why. If the gospel is true, if the gospel is true, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on a cross, came back from the dead, paid for all of our sins, and He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if all of that's true, then there are no alternatives to Christ. What other choices are out there? What other option is there out there? As a matter of fact, I want to make a proposition to you. I want you to think about two things right now. Think about your life and think about Christ. All right? Think about your life and think about Christ. Now, I want you to put those two things together, and I want to propose to you two propositions. Jesus alone is worthy of your life. Nothing else, not money, not fame, not fortune, not popularity, not power, not influence, nothing else is worthy of your life except Jesus. Secondly, your life is too valuable to give to anything but Jesus. It's just too valuable. It's worth too much. Christianity is Christ, period. End of discussion. It's not church. It's not preaching. It's not religion. It's not the way you dress. It's not doing this or doing that. It's not keeping that command, not breaking that command. Christianity is Christ. It is Jesus. Let me put to you this way. You can take Buddha out of Buddhism, you'll still have Buddhism. You can take Muhammad out of Islam, you'll still have Islam. You can take Confucius out of Confucianism, and you'll still have Confucianism. You'll be confused, but you'll still have Confucianism. But if you take Jesus out of Christianity, you have nothing. Christianity is Christ. Now, I want to tell you the single most important thing that should be true of your life if you have the right view of life. Because some of you are probably sitting there wondering right now, hey, I'm not really sure, do I really have the right view of life? Well, I'll tell you the single most important thing that's true about you if you do. The single most important thing about you, if you have the right view of life, is whether or not the people that you are closest to and the people that are closest to you and the people that come in contact with you, your spouse, your children, your family, your colleagues, your workmates, your teammates, your neighbors, here's the key. Do they see Jesus in the way you live? Now, if they do, you've got the right view of life. When Henry IV was the king of France, some of his servants and courtiers were complimenting him on how vigorous he was, even though he was growing older. And one of them said, "Sire, you might even live to be 80 years of age." And when they said that to that, when that servant said this to him, listen to what King Henry IV said. This is so good. He said, "The number of our days is reckoned. I've often prayed to God for grace, but never for a long life. A man who has lived well has always lived long enough, however early he may die. A man who has lived well has always lived long enough, however early he may die." If you want to die right, you got to live right. And if you want to live right, you got to have the right view of life. And there's only one view of life that is right, and that is if you can honestly say, "For to me, to live is Christ." That's the right view of life. Then we've got to have something else. We've got to have the right version of death. Got to have the right view of life, but we've got to have the right version of death. Now listen to the second part of this verse again. Ready? He says, "Now for to me to live is Christ." And then he says something that I know a lot of you are going to say, not buying that. "And to die is gain." Now the word there for gain literally means profitable. It means beneficial. It means it is a good thing. Now let's just be honest. The only people that we think or believe that death is gained for are people who run funeral homes. Okay? We're going, I don't know that death is a gain for me, because I think the last thing hardly any of us think about when it comes to death is, oh man, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, really, unless you're really on the outs with somebody, or you're mad at somebody, or you don't like somebody, when somebody says, "Hey, did you hear so-and-so died?" The first thing you say is not, "That's cool." Really? Boy, that's great. Man, that's fantastic. Got any more good news? We were just told, oh man, that's so sad, and that's so bad, and that's so heartbreaking. And yet Paul said, if your life is Christ, then your death is gain. If your life is Christ, then your death is gain. Now let me just stop. I know that's a hard sell. And I'm not talking to those of you who may not know Christ, or you're not a believer, you're not a follower of Jesus. That's a hard sell to a lot of us right now who are followers of Jesus. I mean, you do love Jesus. I'm gonna prove it to you. If you're a follower of Jesus, and don't raise your hand, but if I were to ask you this question, do you really believe that when you die, you're going to heaven? You'd nod your head. If I were to say to you, well, do you believe that heaven is the most wonderful place in the universe? You'd nod your head. But then you know what we all do? We spend a lot of time doing everything we can to keep from going there. Right? And you know, Joe Louis, the famous boxer, he said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I mean, it's true. Well, we're going to go to heaven, we don't want to die. And yet Paul said, that's not me. I tell you, when I think about death, here's a word I think about. To die is gain. Now, you may think, I don't believe that. He's just blowing smoke. Well, I'll tell you why I believe what he says, because what he said in verse 23, listen to this. He said, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. Now, I want you to let those words sink in a minute. I'm really torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Now, we're going to get honest, all of us, including me. His attitude is 180 degrees different from our attitude. Okay? Here's what we would all say if we're honest. We're willing to go to heaven, but we want to stay here as long as we're healthy. And we want to, you know, we want to enjoy our family, and we want to enjoy our friends, and we want to enjoy life. We're willing to go, but we want to stay. I'm honest. The older you get, the less you care what people think, okay? I don't want to die till Georgia wins one more national championship. Just one. I just want one. I don't want two or three. Just give me one more. Paul said, it's not me. James, you're willing to go, but you want to stay. I'm willing to stay, but I want to go. Paul said, when you've got the right view of life, is Christ, you'll have the right version of death. To die is gain. Now watch what happens. When I have the right view of life, and when I have the right version of death, then I must have the right vision of life and death. Now, I want you to watch how Paul closes this up. Paul says, it's only when you have the right view of life and the right version of death, you'll have the right vision of life and death. Now, you know what that vision is? And by the way, you will know that you've captured that vision. You know how you'll know it? You'll know that you've got the right view of life. You'll know you've got the right version of death. You'll know you've got the right vision of life and death when you are really conflicted. There are going to be times there's going to be a battle going on in your soul as to what to do. Because I want to go back to that statement one more time, what Paul thinks about living and dying. Now, listen to what he says. I'm torn. Most of us are not torn. I know what I want to do. You know what you want to do? I want to be here for a while. Paul says, not me. I'm torn. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. So Paul's got, he said, look, I got a battle going on. I've got, the battle's going on between my desire and my duty. That's the battle. My desire is to leave and be with Jesus. I want to go today. I want to go now. I'm ready. But I've got a duty to stay and work for Jesus. So my problem is, I'm willing to stay here, but I want to go there. Where we say, well, I'm willing to go there, but I want to stay here. But here's what I want you to understand. Why was Paul willing to stay? Why was Paul willing to stay? Totally different. It was not, now some of you are not going to like this. In fact, I'm about to meddle right now, so just get ready. It was not so he could retire, do what he wanted to do, go where he wanted to go, put his feet up on the couch, watch TV, go to the mall, travel the world, and see all the sights. Now, let me just stop. Nothing wrong with any of those things. I'm not critical of any of those things. That's not the point. Paul said, you know why I'm willing to stay? If this is what God will, you know why I'm willing to hang around for a while? Now, watch what he says. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean not retirement, not becoming a couch potato, not heading off to the beach in Florida. It will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Now here's where I want to meddle a minute. If your goal is to live a long time so you can retire, you got the wrong view of life. You've got the wrong version of death. And you've got the wrong vision of life and death. Paul said, you know why I'm willing to live a long time? Not so I can retire, but so I can re-enlist. So I can leave my earthly job for what God wants me to do. Now, if you've not heard anything else I've said, whether you are young or whether you are old, I want you to listen to this next statement. Okay, this is the one, just please, hear this or hear anything else. You should never finish living until your work for God is finished, and God is never finished with you until your work for Him is finished. You should never finish living until your work for God is finished, and God is never finished with you until your work for Him is finished, and God's not finished with your work for Him until He's finished with you. So you say, Pastor, how do I know when my work on earth is done when you're out of here? Until then, you got something you can do for God and something you can do for others. You may retire from your work. You never retire from God's work. Never. There was a philosopher by the name of Horace Callan. He put it perfectly when he said this. Listen to this. He said, there are those who guide their lives by the fear of death, and there are those who guide their lives by the joy of life. The former live dying. The latter die living. When I die, I intend to die living. That's how I want to die. I want to die living. Well, what did Paul mean by that? I want to die living. All right, listen, and we're going to wrap this up. He said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I'll have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, listen to what Paul said. Paul said, look, the important thing about your life is not how much money you make or how many years you accumulate or how many skills that you master. He said, what's important about your life, who do you magnify? That word exalt means to magnify. Who do you magnify? He said, you know what? The way I live, I want it to magnify Jesus. And the way I die, I want it to magnify Jesus. Now that raises a question. Wait a minute. Does Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lords, the Creator of the universe, does He really need to be magnified? Well, yes, He does. Let me tell you why. Go out tonight, if it's clear, and look up in the sky and just look at all the stars. Now here's something we all know. Every star that you see is a lot bigger than it looks to the naked eye, because if it wasn't, you couldn't even see it. So we know it's a lot bigger, but here's what will happen. You can go to a Hubble telescope and look at those same stars, and all of a sudden you realize, dear Lord, I didn't know how big that star was. I didn't know how bright that star was. And what Paul was saying was, our body, whether it's in life or in death, our body is to be a telescope that brings people to closer to Jesus and makes Jesus even bigger. As a matter of fact, there's not a better way for us to live our life every day than to be asking this question every day. Am I magnifying Jesus in my life? Is the way I live, is the way I conduct myself, is the way I do business, is the way I treat my neighbors, is the way I treat my family, my wife, my kids, is the way that I handle my transactions, is it magnifying Jesus? Now you may say, wait a minute, how do you do that? How do you magnify Jesus? All kinds of ways. With our lips, we can magnify Jesus by the words that we say. With our hands, we can magnify Jesus by the deeds that we do. With our feet, we can magnify Jesus by the places that we go. With our hearts, we can magnify Jesus by the love that we share. But Paul said, look, whether we live or whether we die, we ought to magnify Jesus. Let me tell you what he meant. We ought to live in such a way that people would see Jesus in us. And we ought to die in such a way that people will remember Jesus about us. I've often thought about dying, and you think more about it. I'm not morbid about it, but you think about it as you get older. And so sometimes, you know, I get to kind of fantasizing, I guess you'd say. So I've died and I'm in heaven, and there will be times somebody will say to one of my sons, or they'll say to one of my grandchildren, "Merritt, did you happen to know a James Merritt?" "Yeah, that was my dad, or that was my pop." And I hope that what they'll say is, "Boy, your dad was all about Jesus. That's all he talked about. He preached Jesus. Every message was full of Jesus. He loved Jesus. He shared Jesus. He lived for Jesus." That's what I want people to do. I want people, when they, as they watch me live today, see Jesus. And when I die, I want them to think about Jesus. You know, in Africa, a lot of Christians pray what they'll call, they pray that they'll die what they call a good death. And what they mean by dying a good death is not a death that's free of pain or free of suffering. What they mean by good death is this. They say a good death is when you die, regardless of how you die, when you die, God is glorified, Jesus is magnified, and faith is multiplied. They said, that's dying a good death. Here's what Paul said. We're going to wrap all this up. Paul said, if I live, I'm going to live for Jesus. If I die, I'm going to live with Jesus. So for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Dr. Rogers, when he preached on this text, you know what the title of his sermon was? I love it. I wish I'd stolen it from him. Heads I win, tails I win. Isn't that good? If you're a Christian, that's true. Heads I win, tails I win. Now, we're going to get this real personal applicable, and then we're going to pray. So you were on the street yesterday. You were downtown in Atlanta, and you kind of turn a corner, and there's somebody there with a notebook and a pen or a legal pad, and they say, "Excuse me, I'm taking a survey. Could I just ask you a question? How would you fill in this blank? For to me, to live is blank." You didn't have any prior warning. You didn't know what they're doing. "For to me, to live is blank." Now, there's no need to lie. How would you have answered that question yesterday? If some of you are honest, some of us are honest. "Well, for me, to live is money. For to me, to live is fame. Well, for to me, to live is my job. For me, to live is family." And what Paul would say is, if you put anything in that blank except Jesus, then for you to die is loss. And I'll tell you why. If you live for money, you're going to leave it all behind. If you live for fame, people are going to forget you. If you live for power, you're going to lose it all. And oh, if you live for family, when you die, depending on whether or not your family knew Jesus, either you will never see them again or you will wish you didn't. Now, there are three things you better get right. You better live right, and you better die right, and you better be forever right. And here's the good news. Once you let Jesus into your life and take control of your life, you're guaranteed to get all three right.
Stay tuned for a final word from Dr. Merritt.
Of all the things that I do every year, there's nothing that I look forward to more or enjoy more than our annual Mountaintop Conference that's held in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. We're up in Pigeon Forge, and it's one of my absolute favorite places to go, and it's one of my absolute favorite events of the entire year, and it's a fantastic way to kick off the Christmas season. If you've been before, you already know what a great time it is. We worship, we fellowship, we laugh, we sing, and we listen to preaching and God's Word, and we're going to do all of that again this year. Won't be an exception. But here's what I want you to hear. We're going to be joined by Bart Millard of Mercy Me. who will be sharing with us his personal testimony, which was the inspiration for the song and the hit movie, I Can Only Imagine. If you've not seen that movie, you need to see it. It's one of the best movies I've seen in years. And that song, by the way, is the best-selling Christian song of all time. We'll get to meet the man that wrote it and have a great time. By the way, your registration also includes a ticket to Dollywood and Dolly Parton's Smoky Mountain Adventures dinner show, which is always great. So if you've never been to Mountaintop, I want to encourage you to join us this year for some great fellowship and a lot of fun. To begin planning your trip to Mountaintop, go to our website at touchinglives.org or call us at 1-800-413-1131. Make your reservations. I will see you there. It's going to be fantastic. In order to live right, we have to be ready to die right. And we can only do this by having the right view of life. The best earthly example we have of this comes from Paul. He sums up the right view of death when he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The focus of Paul's life wasn't anything worldly. It was Christ. So much so that he would have preferred to die so he could be with Jesus rather than to stay here on earth. Now, if we're honest, most of us don't view death as something beneficial. I mean, we may be willing to lay down our life if it's God's will. We just hope it's not, and we'd rather enjoy our time on earth. But when we have the right view of death, our perspective begins to change. And I think this is truly when we understand our purpose here on this earth. I don't want to leave you today without asking the most important question. With all this talk of death, if you were to die today, because you are going to die today, tomorrow, someday, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're even less than 100% sure that you'd be with Jesus, pick up the phone now, this second. Call us, it's free, 1-800-413-1131. We've got people willing to walk with you and walk you through how to know and to know for sure that you'll spend eternity with Jesus in heaven when you die, and even more importantly, have His power to live the life you ought to live on this earth. For those who are followers of Jesus, would you pray that God would give you an eternal perspective on life and death? And may all of us live out this perspective until we either meet Jesus today or tomorrow, or again here on Touching Lives.
Touching Lives, teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need Him. This program is sponsored by Touching Lives Ministries and is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.